It's morning, and the people have begun to gather by the sea. The rumor has gotten around. Jesus is here. We found Jesus. Unlike the crowd the last time we saw Jesus, this crowd seems to be looking for Jesus to listen to him and to learn from him. Last we saw Jesus, he was preaching in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. He spoke a message of the ongoing fulfillment of Scripture, that those who were captive were being released, those who were poor were a part of the good news, those oppressed would go free, and the year of God's favor, the year of jubilee and forgiveness, was upon them all. And for those in the synagogue, well, they weren't happy. They drove him out of town, intending to throw him off of the cliff. But Jesus walked through the midst of them and went on his way. Where did Jesus go? Well, the next thing that Jesus did was go down into Capernaum, a few miles down the road from Nazareth, and taught there in the synagogue. Then he did what many of us do after church on Sunday. He went over to someone's house for lunch. I like to imagine Jesus and Simon being longtime friends, the kind of friends where you can just drop in on a moment's notice and always be welcome. And after spending the morning teaching at the synagogue, Jesus drops over to his friend Simon's house for lunch. Except for Simon's mother-in-law is incredibly sick. So Jesus heals her. And the next thing we know, everyone is showing up at Simon's door because they've heard about what Jesus can do, and all the folks who want to be healed are coming around for healing. It sounds like Jesus was up all night talking to people and healing those who needed healing. And then, at dawn, he snuck out of the house and went to find somewhere quiet and uninhabited because he needed a break. And it's here, in the gospel narrative of the writer we know as Luke, that we find Jesus this morning. He's standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, also called the Sea of Galilee. And the people have found him and are gathered around him, pressing in tightly to hear the word of God and probably hoping for healing. He loves these people. He's grown up amongst them. He may have grown up as a carpenter and his friend Simon as a fisherman, but he understands these guys and their work. It's hard work, he knows. Hard and often unrewarding. Simon and his fishing partners are on shore after a night of fishing, and they're cleaning their gear so they can head home. They're doing the work slowly. Signs of discouragement written all over them. They've been up all night fishing and haven't caught anything. Not a single fish. They have nothing to sell, nothing to take home to their families. They're tired and they're empty-handed. Simon and his co-workers might have been glad to see Jesus, to see a friend. Maybe they were comforted as they listened to Jesus while they cleaned their nets. Maybe they were pleased that Jesus asked to use their boat. Or it might be that the only reason Simon agrees to take Jesus out in his boat is because he's remembering the time when Jesus came to his house and healed his mother-in-law. Either way, tired, exhausted, and discouraged as he must be, Simon agrees to take Jesus out on the water so he can better speak to the crowds that are pressing in around him to hear him teach. So out they go onto the water, Simon and Jesus in Simon's boat. Jesus spoke to all the people gathered on shore for a while and then tells Simon to try fishing again. I'd love to know the tone of Simon's reply, because while we know about the overwhelming catch of fish that will come, right now all he knows is the overwhelming defeat of fatigue. Is Simon's reply one of strong faith? Master, we've worked all night and caught nothing, but if you say so, I will try again. Is it sarcastic? Master, we've worked all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, I'll try again. Or is it resigned and pleading? Master, we have worked all night and caught nothing, But if you say so, I'll try again. However Simon responds, the result is the same. An overflowing abundance of fish, so many fish that the nets were breaking as he attempted to haul them in. So many fish that he calls for help to his friends James and John, who are still on shore. And together, they only just managed to bring in the haul of fish between the group of them. If the story ended there, we might only read this as a story of another miracle. A miracle of Jesus triumphing over nature and abundantly providing for his friends. But it doesn't end there. Simon falls down on his knees in the boat amongst the fish and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." When we began this season of Epiphany 5 weeks ago, I said that Epiphany is the season when we are confronted with Jesus, when Jesus' identity as the Son of God is revealed through signs and wonders in the stories about Jesus that we read each week. And that is true. But like this gospel story this morning, it is also something more. Because recognizing something about Jesus also means recognizing and being confronted with something about ourselves. Jesus is revealing himself in order to draw people to himself. Jesus is calling us, each of us. The call looks different for each one of us, just as it looks different for everyone in the stories that we read in the Bible. Last week, we heard the story of the call of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah's response was, "I'm too young. I cannot be used by God." This morning, we heard the story of the call of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's response was, "Woe is me, I am unclean, I'm a sinner." This morning we also read the Apostle Paul's account of his call, where he calls himself the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And we can think of others in Scripture. Moses, who said he couldn't follow God's call because he wasn't a public speaker. Jonah, who said he wasn't sure he actually liked God and certainly didn't like the people God was calling him to, and so didn't think he should answer God's call. And Simon Peter, in our gospel reading this morning, recognizes the power of Jesus, understands that he is being called, and responds with, "Go away from me, I am sinful." But that's just it. Over and over, the people in scriptures are real people. None of them are perfect, and most of them are convinced that God could never use them. And yet, over and over again, God calls them to take part in ministry and mission. It's a reminder that it isn't about who we are. It's about who God sees. God isn't looking for perfect people. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus sees people, real people, people who are called sinners, and chooses them, chooses us. Jesus needs and wants every single one of those not perfect people in the kingdom of God. Jesus needs and wants every single one of us to participate in fulfilling his ministry. Yes, the season of Epiphany is when we recognize something about Jesus, and in recognizing something about Jesus, we recognize something about ourselves, where we have that self-epiphany. And it is also when we are confronted with the call, as Simon Peter was, to join God in ministry. We might have lots of excuses why we don't want to answer that call. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too sinful. I'm not perfect. I'm not even sure I like this. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. But God sees us and calls us because God sees something of value even if we don't see it ourselves. Look at Simon Peter. Jesus' response to Simon's confession of sin is the same phrase that the angel said to Zechariah when he was called to be the father of John the Baptist. It's the same thing that the angel said to Mary when she was called to be the mother of the Son of God. It's the same thing that the angels said to the shepherds on the night that it all began on the hills outside of Bethlehem. The same thing that will be said to the women on the morning after the resurrection. The same thing that is said over and over hundreds of times throughout Scripture. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We can have excuses. We can have reasons. But over and over, Jesus extends God's call to people who don't think they're worthy, to those who are unlikely candidates, to those who are tired and overwhelmed. And every single one of those people is drawn into God's kingdom and is used by God in ways big and small to transform their world little by little. And the thing is, when Jesus called Simon to try his hand at fishing again after a long night of nothing, Jesus was there in the boat with him the whole time. Jesus isn't watching from shore and shouting instructions from afar. Jesus is there in the boat, helping Simon Peter toss the net out and then pulling with him to haul it back in. The disciples don't leave everything and follow Jesus because they are confident in their own abilities. They leave and follow because they know Jesus. "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets," says Simon. "Do not be afraid. I am with you," says Jesus. "I am with you, and your age does not matter. I am with you and I will give you the words. I am with you and perfection is not the object. I am with you and will redeem your fear, your fatigue, your feelings of being overwhelmed or busy. I am with you. So do not be afraid. Come, follow me." Amen.